Chapter 4.
In darkness, lesser shade are 5 times stronger and faster than any man. They can fly and see perfectly. Greater shade possess the power known as light blaring, which grants them unique corrupt powers, such as killing plants by mere proximity, controlling dead flesh, taking hold of things and moving them at a distance, hearing others' thoughts and sending horrifying images directly into others' minds. But being told of something is far different from experiencing it firsthand. I could never communicate accurately the shade's relentless ferocity, their lack of mercy, and their terrifying hunger for destruction.
Dalen had a new life before him, and a chance to make some form of reparation for his countless crimes, but that was going to attract attention, especially with his powers. If anyone started digging, they would find out whoever he claimed to be didn't exist on any nation's records, which were all detailed and extensive due to the shade. Regular people turned into shade and, by tracking births, deaths, and the population through annual census, something Dalen had pushed himself as a high priority when in power, the nations of the world could get a close approximation to the number of people who had gone missing and had likely turned. With his renewed youth, Dalen resembled his imperial self once more. Old age had granted him the perfect disguise. That, plus the fact that he would have no recorded identity on any record, would raise some problematic questions. Light, a clever enough person, might uncover his true identity. There was enough magic in the world to accept a person might regain their youth, though Dalen had never heard of such a thing. A Lightbringer could sacrifice themselves with their last miracle to bring back the dead. Only a single person, true, but if that was possible, why could youth not be returned? So Dalen needed to get back to his home and grab those valuables he would take with him and then head to the capital. There he would break into the records office and falsify a birth certificate. He hadn't needed a false birth certificate while living as the old tinker, as by his age it had been clear he had survived the fourth night, back when the records were not as complete. But now he looked 17, and the records of the current falls were very precise. Dalen nodded to himself, knowing what he had to do. There looked to be some type of farmstead in the far distance, sitting within a valley beyond. He marched. Dalen expected to struggle as he walked, but his steps came more easily than he ever remembered. Yes, he had already walked over a kilometer to the lake, but he was a little too preoccupied to notice the difference. His old, feeble body was gone, replaced with this new one. He felt strong and full of energy. "The young have no idea what they have," Dalen said, reveling. He ran. He couldn't remember the last time he had done this, let alone the last time he had even been physically capable of it. It felt incredible. The wind in his face, the healthy exertion of his body. It was like he was truly alive once more. The burning purpose in his heart and the small joys like this pushed back the darkness somewhat, his guilt a soft weight on his heart, but ever present. Dalen eventually tired after a kilometer or so. He could have run for longer, but he wasn't exactly trying to push himself. Instead, he decided to test his powers a little while he walked. He could channel light into 4 different attributes simultaneously. It made sense that this magic was called light binding, for binding was the most natural way he could describe what he was doing. Focusing on one of those paths, or bonds, he channeled light into his speed and, having caught his breath, he ran. Wind rushed past him as if he were again riding on Peridon's wagon. He was easily running twice as fast as he had been before. Stopping, Dalen looked back over the distance he had covered. "Not bad," he said to himself, and then began to think. "Increasing both my speed and reflexes will make me unstoppable with a sword." "So," Dalen said, speaking to himself, the old habit strong, 4 different bonds to 4 different physical attributes. But can I stack more than one bond to a single attribute? Dalen tried to channel 2 bonds of light to his speed. He could feel the light passing through his body. He ran. Dalen shot forward at an incredible pace. In fact, this second bond seemed to have doubled the speed he had run with 1. The wind stung as it blew past his face and drummed in his ears. Dalen tried to stop, skipping and sliding along the ground before finally coming to a standstill. He laughed in exhilaration. Okay, that was 2 bonds. Now all 4. Dalen channeled his light and ran, purposely starting slow and then pushing himself faster and faster. It was incredible. The wind resistance acted on him like a weight on his chest, his clothes flapping about so violently that they felt as though they might rip free from his body. Each step was separated by at least 20 meters, the grass passing under him in a blur. He ran up a rise in the land, and, before he realized what he had done, had launched himself into the air like he had run up a ramp.
"Whoa!"
he cried as the wind resistance took control now that he had no traction to apply a counterforce, and he went into an uncontrolled spin. Everything was a blur, and Dalen could think of no way to correct his fall and land safely, so he pulled all his bonds off his speed and funneled the light to his mass, increasing it. The stationary inertia of his new mass pulled him to a standstill in the air. Then he fell like a brick. Dirt exploded around him as he landed on the ground. Dalen shook his head and, when the dizziness cleared, he found himself lying in a small crater. "What under the light?" Dalen said, stunned at the force with which he had hit the ground. Dalen rolled over and placed a hand under himself, but when he shifted his weight to push himself up, his arm sank into the dirt down to his shoulder. "My weight," Dalen said. "I'm using all 4 bonds this time. Light, I must be as heavy as a whale, which is odd because I don't feel any heavier. Is my strength being increased to compensate for the increased mass?" Dalen released his bonds and pulled his arm out of the ground before he stepped out of the crater. The hole he had made was about 2 meters in diameter. He was covered in dirt, and brushing off his clothes only did so much. Dalen looked up and traced the path he had taken with a finger, trying to remember the height he had fallen from when his greater mass had stopped him in the air. 5 or 6 meters, he said to himself. From that height and the force of the impact, I should have broken some bones at least. But I barely felt anything thanks to the paired augment in my body's durability. Dalen paced. But to resist injury, I could just increase my fortitude, and then I don't have to worry about greater weight. Dalen channeled light through each bond, visualizing his fortitude. The light flowed, indicating he had made working bonds. Dalen slapped himself. He felt nothing. He then pinched himself as hard as he could, trying to draw blood. He could sense the touch, but received no injury whatsoever. Dalen ran to a nearby tree and slammed his forearm into the trunk as hard as he could. It tingled slightly, but the sensation was nothing close to pain. "Ha!" Dalen chuckled. "I need a better gauge on what each bond does." Dalen released his bonds and looked around, finding some boulders and logs nearby. Finding a large rock that he could just barely lift, he found another. Their weights were close enough to make some rough measurements. Dalen went through a process of lifting those large rocks and rock of other sizes with different levels of enhancement to his strength. He compared those results to the enhancement he received on different attributes. It turned out that the first bond seemed to enhance different abilities to different levels. One bond to his strength seemed to have doubled it, yet one bond to his eyes enhanced them far more than just double. Each consecutive bond, stacked after that, regardless of the attribute, doubled whatever previous enhancement was already achieved. Thus, all 4 bonds enhanced his strength 16 times as much. Using all 4 bonds on his sight was different due to the first bond having a greater effect than the single bond on strength had. It was very surreal. With his sight fully enhanced, Dalen could see the individual cell structure of things within 5 meters to him. And then there was the weird shimmer around everything. It made him dizzy.
"These powers are remarkable,"
Dalen said to himself once he had finished with his tests. He thought of the distance he would still have to travel to the farmstead. "I think I have a solution." Dalen channeled 2 bonds to his speed. 4 was too extreme, as he didn't want to launch himself into the air again. Though he covered far more distance, he still tired after the same length of time as if he were running normally. Dalen stopped and rested his hands on his knees, puffing to catch his breath. He would need a couple of minutes to recover. Or would he? Dalen channeled all his bonds into healing, and after a second his energy returned in full.
"Nice!"
Dalen began running again, but this time channeled a bond to his stamina to maintain his pace for longer. It worked, and this time he didn't seem to tire at all, even with 1 bond. He shot across the land like a darkstone-powered coach. The wind beat on his face, and Dalen could feel his cheeks ripple. His hair pulled behind him, as did his long coat, creating far more drag than he would have guessed. After several minutes, Dalen felt tired. Yet this wasn't normal physical fatigue. His body felt fine, yet something felt tired. In fact, it was harder to maintain the bonds he was channeling. It was the power itself, Dalen realized. It felt really weird, like an invisible muscle he had never used needing rest. Dalen tried to push on, but with every step it became harder and harder to maintain the bonds, that invisible muscle feeling more and more stress until finally Dalen's bonds simply ceased. Dalen leaned down and, by instinct, breathed heavily to try and catch his breath. Yet there was no breath to catch. He wasn't winded. He felt he could go on and run with no light binding, like he had just woken up from a nap. Yet his body was sweating. Some new part of him had been pushed to its limit. Dalen could still feel the light around him as if it were a physical thing, yet as he tried to draw it in, his legs gave way and he fell to his knees.
"Whoa!"
he said as he fell. That was one of the odder sensations he had ever felt, his body giving way, even collapsing, while feeling physically fine. He got up without a problem.
"There's clearly a limit to how much I can use my powers," he said to himself.
Whatever new ability he had that allowed him to draw in light fatigued him when used too long.
Makes sense. These powers are very intuitive.
He would have tried to use his powers in healing to help them recover faster, but at that moment his powers were gone. Dalen walked on, letting them rest. He had already crossed a considerable distance with his speed increased, and yet it took the remainder of low fall to reach the farm, hiking through uncultivated lands, wild forests, and even a few old ruins. Before climbing over the post and railing fence that enclosed one of the nearer paddocks to the farmhouse, Dalen tentatively drew on the light. It came with a little resistance.
"So I've recovered a little, but with my power back, can I speed it up?"
He channeled the light into healing, expecting the channeling to get easier as a result. It didn't.
"So, healing doesn't restore my channeling ability, but can I channel light into my ability to channel and help it recover?"
Dalen tried to switch the bond to his channeling ability, willing in his mind the same way he willed the light into other attributes. The light within him was repelled as powerfully as if he had tried to drop an ice cube into boiling oil, rebounding and hitting the inside of his chest with such force it knocked him off his feet. Dalen fell on his back like he had just been kicked by a horse, every bit of wind knocked out of him. He writhed and gasped for air before finally managing to say,
"Wow, that was weird."
After a few minutes, he had recovered enough to climb to his feet.
"Okay," he said. "Don't touch the power with the power. Noted."
His chest ached. Dalen cautiously drew in light and channeled it to his healing ability. The light flowed through his body sluggishly, and though he could feel his fatigue disappear, the pain in his chest remained. Interesting. I hope I haven't broken something. Dalen rested on the fence rail for a minute before jumping over it. The pain spiked with exertion, but he was used to pain. He rubbed his chest as he walked. The farmstead comprised a quaint cottage of the old wattle and daub type, with a tiled roof, two animal shelters, a wood shack, a chicken coop, and a larger barn. Smoke rose from the house chimney, and flowers bloomed on vines that grew up one of the walls of the house and in garden beds near the door. It was the morn of highfall, and a man was already up and about chopping wood in front of the shack that housed it. Dalen approached the young man, who, after noticing Dalen, leaned his axe beside the chopping block and waited cautiously. "Light to you," Dalen said as he got close enough. The farmer had a swollen face with sharp amber eyes. A rotund belly rested on his waistline, as round as his arms and shoulders. His blood-red hair was streaked with green, no tassel hanging from it. Had Dalen fallen into the western border of Frey?
"And like to you, lad,"
the farmer said in a voice as deep as his Freysian accent, which answered Dalen's question. "He calls me lad, and the man's nothing but a pup. Who does this disrespectful sunspot think he—" "Oh." To Dalen, the man looked young enough to be his grandson, maybe 40 years old. But to everyone else, Dalen himself was nothing but a hormone-addled teen. This was going to take some getting used to.
"What brings you here so early in the fall?" the farmer asked.
Dalen couldn't exactly say he had just fallen from the continent without prompting a deluge of questions.
"Well, out with it. I have work to be about."
His condescending tone almost provoked a good tongue-lashing, but Dalen held back, barely.
I'm lost."
"Look it, truly boy. Did you take a walk through the brambles or something?"
"Boy? Boy? I'm no more a boy than you are a goat. Why, I'm old enough to be... well, I'm plenty old, all right?"
Dalen finished lamely.
"Aye," the farmer said, nodding in understanding. "I was once your age, too."
"No, you most certainly have never been my age," Dalen thought.
"My son's going through the same thing. Wants more respect, yet shirks responsibility."
The man turned and yelled,
"Gaydon, you out of bed? Your chores are still needing to be done."
"I am sorry, sir," Dalen said. "I've had a long and complicated few falls, and all I seek is a bed to rest in. Could I impose upon you for that, just for a fall?"
"Well, you're polite enough when you think to be," the man said, "and you're clearly in some need. Come, I'll show you a bed."
Dalen was shown to a loft in the farmer's barn, where two low beds sat.
"This is where my brother and I sleep when he and his wife visit. It should serve well enough."
Yep, most definitely a Frasian. That this man would give his brother's wife his own bed in the house when they visited confirmed it, what with how women were revered in their culture.
"Thank you. And my name is Dalen."
"I'm Tago. Get some sleep, and I'll find you something to eat when you wake."
Dalen fell asleep as soon as his head hit the pillow, and awoke a good 12 hours later with the sound of rain falling on the shingled roof of the barn. Dalen rose from the cot-like bed and, looking down from the loft, saw that the animals had been brought in for the low. Two milking cows stared at him in a way that said he wasn't welcome. Feeling at his chest, Dalen was pleased to find the pain gone. He stretched out his hand and felt for the light. With the overcast from the rain and the cover of the barn, there was barely any light to be felt. Dalen tried to draw in what he could, and his ability to do so responded instantly. "Looks like they've recovered," he said, but noted how sluggish the light came in when trying to channel in such a dark place. Dalin bound the light to his strength and found that he would not be able to make any additional bonds without more light. He stepped from the loft and fell 4 meters before landing easily. One of the cows mooed in surprise, stumbling away. Walking to the single door built into the 2 larger double doors of the barn, Dalin stepped outside. The barn roof had an eave large enough for there to be some shelter from the rain adjacent to the wall outside. The day was so overcast that fall that Dalin could see glowing light shining out of the cottage's windows from the sunstones within. Most people of the world despised this type of overcast, feeling it was too like the night. This showed they knew nothing about what true night was like. Overcast falls like this simply showed what a regular fall was like in the desolate Shadowlands, where the southern end of the continent sat under the shadow of itself, causing little to grow and therefore was uninhabited. He would have left the farm that very moment if not for how hungry he was. Tego's offering of food was too much for him to deny. Dalin ran through the rain to the cottage, knocking on the door. Tego opened it.
"Come in, lad, before you get soaked."
Dalin's teeth grated at being called a lad, but he did so. He walked into a brightly lit home, the light feeling wonderful. The cottage's kitchen lay directly to his right, the family's dining table to his left, where Tego's whole family was sitting. A sitting room and laundry sat beyond the other rooms, with bedrooms on the upper floors.
"Oh, you're having dinner. Sorry, I'll—"
"No, my wife has invited you to join us."
Tego's wife, a very large woman with breasts the size of melons, sat at the head of the table, like all proper Frisian households. Her scarlet-red hair was tied in a bun, her rosy round cheeks and smile so warm they might dry Dalin's clothes on their own. 2 young girls sat at the table's left, a shuttered window at their back, and giggled whenever they looked at Dalin. One was on her way to being as plump as her parents, but the other was uncharacteristically skinny for this family, which meant she was only slightly thick of neck. Across the table from the girls sat an older boy, very much the image of his father in girth and face. A bare seat was next to him, awaiting Dalin.
"With your blessing, matron," Dalin said, bowing to the wife.
Her smile deepened at that, and she nodded. Dalin took his seat with Tego doing the same.
"By the looks of you, I thought you were Harmarin," the wife said.
"I am, matron."
"But you call me matron with all the respect of a native-born Frisian."
"I know a lot about Frey and the world. Light, I ruled most of it once."
"You're a credit to your parents, then. I'm Luciana. This is Aliciana, Mariana, and Gaydon."
The pup next to Dalin, Gaydon, glanced to him and nodded. "Hi," he said, with a level of familiarity that caught Dalin off guard.
Hi, Dalin said back.
"Which part of Hamar are you from?" Gaydon asked.
He must have been 18 years old.
"The Trireme prefecture of Old Sunsen, a small town named Caradale, about 100 kilometers east of Tremaine."
"I know of Sunsen," Gaydon said. "Tremaine sounds familiar, too."
"You're leagues from home, lad," Tego said.
Dalin cringed inwardly at the use of that unit of measurement. The league had been used to represent so many values over the past that it was now completely unreliable. But Dalin guessed the farmer was using it in the more modern and unofficial way to mean 1,000 kilometers. Tego continued,
"How did you come all the way to Frey and to Basin, by all that's good? There's no main road here from the west."
"No offense, Tego, but that's my business."
"It is," Luciana said. "Tego, you should mind your manners."
"Sorry, my wife."
Luciana saved them from awkward silence by asking Aliciana, the larger of the daughters, to bless the food. According to Frisian religion, called matriology, because women gave birth, they possessed a sliver of creation,
and thereby shared some of the godmother's own power, which was why only women could offer blessings. In Dalen's opinion, this was contradicted by the fact that men and women could receive divine powers as lightbringers. According to matriology, women created life and men took life, both necessary acts as they saw it. A devout Matrian woman wouldn't even uproot a craggot or pull a fruit from a tree and thereby end its life. That was the duty of a man. But as women created life, they were also the caretakers of life, and they would see to raising the children, keeping their house in order, and pleasing their husbands. This meant they would prepare the food after it had been killed, and light help anyone who got in the way of a Matrian woman and her kitchen. Everyone bowed their heads as Alitiana spoke, though she giggled once when sneaking a peek at Dalen. Light that was annoying.
I bless this food that it will be healthy to our bodies and souls, and dedicated to all that is good.
Dalen joined them all in repeating the words, to all that is good. Tego eyed him as the younger sister served the stew.
You're a Matrian? He asked.
No, Dalen said, but dedicating anything to all that is good is something I'm all too happy to do.
Would you object to learning more of matriology? My wife is ordained.
Sorry, I'm a light-seeker.
But light-seeking has a blatant hole in its doctrine, the matron said.
So I've heard.
You believe there must be a specific act to purify someone of their sins.
Only after they repent,
Tego interjected.
Yes, Dalen said.
And Matrians disagree with light-seekers who believe the light can forgive sin by its own power without the need for a cleansing ordinance.
As little objection anyone would have to matriology's cleansing ordinance. You mean the sacrament, which can only be properly performed in marriage,
Tego said, pointing with his spoon. Mariana passed Dalen a bowl of stew, which he took with a nod of gratitude.
Yeah, but you can't tell me it's not enjoyable, Dalen said.
That comment made Alitiana and Mariana blush. Gaydon huffed a chuckle.
As it should be, Luciana said. Redemption is a joyful thing, the very reason the godmother made the sacrament so. And the cleansing of sin is not about power. The godmother has all power, and could make it that trees simply appear in the world fully grown. And yet she has seen fit that trees grow in the way that she has prescribed, as she has with cleansing the corruption that sin leaves within us.
Dalen swallowed a spoonful of stew. Light it was good. You could always trust plump people to make good food.
I can agree that the light will prescribe what it sees fit, including what one must do to be redeemed, or what one must suffer for their sins.
Dalen's expression must have conveyed a measure of his feelings on the matter, for Tego and Luciana looked at each other with concern.
Anyway, Dalen said, we could discuss this through the fall and get nowhere. There's enough disagreement within matriology's own denominations to prove that. You and your husband are clearly Matrian Orthodox, as Tego claimed the sacrament only cleanses sin in proper marriage. There's enough spousums throughout Frey that proclaim a different interpretation.
Luciana scowled.
They're glorified whorehouses.
The son, Gaydon, stifled a childish laugh. Luciana turned to him.
And if you ever visit one of them, I'll cut off your manhood.
I know, Mother. You tell me whenever they're mentioned.
Yes, and may the godmother see that you remember.
They all returned to the food, only the casual comment or question breaking the silence.
Remember to keep Dalen's bowl full, Mariana, Luciana said to her daughter. When married, it'll be your honor to see that your men and boys are fed. Dalen's a growing boy, after all, and he needs his strength.
There was too much intention in Luciana's eyes as she said that, clearly weighing up Dalen as husband material. Mariana refilled his bowl and handed it back to Dalen, who was all too happy to have another serving.
light he was hungry. The girls giggled once more while looking at Dalen, and he snapped, slamming his hand on the table while glaring at the little nits.
What in light's reach is so black and funny?
No, no, Luciana said angrily. You'll watch your tongue under my roof.
Feeling both shame and resentment at being addressed so by a lowly farmer, Dalen forced out an awkward apology.
I'm sorry, matron. My temper can get away from me.
If this woman knew who Dalen really was, she would piss herself and then run to the hills with her family.
'Tis a failing all young men have, I'm afraid, the woman said with a glance to her son. Now, girls, why don't you answer young Dalen's question?
Tego sat there silently, but seemed to be enjoying the drama. The girls blushed and squirmed in their seats.
Nothing's funny.
Then I expect to hear no more laughter from the two of you.
Yes, mother.
Everyone returned to their meals until Tego asked Dalen another question.
Your parents must be worried about you, being so far from home.
Too many questions. There was no real harm with these simple folk, but if anyone more official pried like this, there could be trouble. Dalen needed to reach the capital sooner rather than later. For now, he spoke the truth.
My parents are dead.
How do you take care of yourself? Luciana asked.
I fix things. Most people call me a tinker.
Luciana swallowed a mouthful of stew.
Ah, a tinker. You must be good with your hands and have a sharp head to make enough money from such a trade.
I get by.
I hope you would tell us if you were in some form of trouble.
No, not really.
Luciana looked at Dalen a bit stunned.
Very well. You're welcome to stay for as long as you need, so long as you work.
Dalen looked outside and was relieved to see the rain letting up.
Thank you, matron, but I'll be heading out after dinner. And thank you for the food. It's delicious.
Luciana beamed.
Follow the road heading east. That will take you to Adra's Brook, a small village, but the weekly coach is 2 falls past. You'll have to make your way to Buchenbright along the main road. It's about a 4-hour walk.
Then that's where I'll head.
Tego nodded to Dalen.
Now, lad, you should be carrying a sword while you travel.
These lad comments were getting old, and of course Dalen knew he should be traveling with a sword. Light, people weren't this condescending when his appearance matched his age. No wonder the boy next to him seemed disgruntled with his parents.
I don't have one, Dalen said, trying to mask his annoyance.
I can see that,
Tego said, scraping his spoon along the bottom of his 4th bowl and eating the last bit. He rose and walked to the corner of the dining room where an old chest lay buried under rugs, brooms, and whatever else this home wanted out of the way.
We've had some trouble with hill cats this summer. Now, they shouldn't pose much danger unless they're particularly hungry. Still, you should watch yourself on the road. Aside from hill cats, you might come across some wild dogs, and there's even tale of drakes flying down and grabbing people.
If they were going to lecture others, something they were more willing to direct at youth, apparently, they might as well get their facts right.
Drakes don't come down to the surface, Dalen said matter-of-factly. It's too far from the shrubs that grow on the underside of the continent.
Shrubs?
That's what they eat. Drakes are herbivores.
But the stories?
Myths told to scare little children.
Oh, I didn't know.
Tego was silent for a second before pulling the chest out.
In any case, you need to be careful. Apart from what I said, bandits roam the hills, and that ain't a story.
Tego opened the chest and retrieved 3 old broadswords, one with a basket hilt, and the other 2 having the more common swept hilt, comprised of quillens, loops, side rings, sweepings, and knuckle guard. Dalen glanced to the side door of the home, where 5 other swords, in better condition, hung sideways on a rack, 1 for each member of the family.
two back swords, a broadsword, a long sword, and a war sword. Ever since the second night fell over 1,000 years ago, most people of the world realized that nights weren't one-off events. Since that time, every man, woman, and child owned a weapon and was taught how to use it in preparation for the oncoming dark. These falls, it would be extremely odd to see a home of any nation that didn't have a weapon for each person who lived in it, if not more. Like Hamara, Frey had a strong dueling culture, but the people didn't wear tassels to mark their victories. Tego pulled each sword out of its sheath and inspected their blades. Each one was in some state of disrepair. He picked the best and handed it to Dalin.
"It's an old sword, and not too sharp at that, but it'll do the job."
"Thank you," Dalin said, taking the blade. Having a sword at his side was like a river having water flowing through it. It was just right. "I don't suppose it has a name?" Luciana huffed.
"If it did, it's long since forgotten. Anyway, I'd say that sword isn't grand enough to bear a name."
"Any sword that's saved a person's life deserves a name."
"Don't know if it ever has," Tego said. "You're free to name it whatever you like."
"I might," Dalin said, rising. "Thank you for the meal and bed," he said, before placing a dun on the table.
"That's not necessary," Luciana said. "Common decency isn't worth coin."
"You're right. It's not," Dalin said, leaving both the home and his coin before they could reply.